So, since we've described this session as a journey, I'm going to warn you right now to put your tray tables in the full upright locked position, fasten your seatbelts, because we're going to go up to about 50,000 feet right now. Because what I want to talk to you about is, what is relationship management? So we've heard an example of a specific community, we've heard about the Communities of Practice program, and now we're going to go back a little bit in time to why all this happened, how we're defining relationship management. So this is really sort of thin from the CDC's perspective, and I fully admit that. CDC's perspective only right now. But this has really been all about how we at CDC are trying to address feedback from our partners who said to us 3-4 years ago that building relationships was really the cornerstone of informatics. So this is something we've been working very hard on for the last 3 or 4 years is how we then develop a strategy and some goals and some objectives and some activities at CDC to support that relationship management piece of FIN that perhaps was not as robust as it should have been from the start. And we've defined relationship management as the strategy for value creation, that it's not about cost, but it's about leveraging network-enabled processes to transform relationships and maximize opportunities. And as you can imagine, relationship management has changed quite a bit over time, and I'm just going to draw your attention to a couple of these that I think are particularly important from my perspective, that the basis for value creation has changed from products in the early 1880s to the late 90s, mid-90s, to information and now to knowledge. That our key investments have changed from land and machines to network and telecommunications infrastructure now to people and knowledge tools. And we heard a lot this morning about social networking, about the importance of collaboration, about the emphasis on people. And that's really a phenomenon that's only come on fairly recently, the last 20 years or so. And our primary strategic resources have changed from raw materials to information, now to relationships. And I think you will see that emphasis throughout this conference this week. So one of the core concepts that we've sort of embraced in my division, which is sort of the home for FIN at CDC, is that relationship management, the core concept is really to use our knowledge of, this says customers, I think if you're building an IT system, that's probably the right word. For us, it's really our partners, to understand our partners, their needs, their interests, and to leverage that to formulate strategies that can create a network. That what we really want out of this is a network that is providing mutually beneficial interactions. And communities of practice, which we've heard a lot about today, is only one of the things that we're doing to try to make that happen. Relationship management also supports the evolution and growth of those networks. And this is a pretty typical model, probably many of you have seen it, but there are really four sort of milestones in a network's development. Most of them begin as scattered fragments, small clusters organized around common interests or goals that really don't interact too much with one another. Kind of looks like this. And I'm really glad the lines show up because these are going to get more complex, and on the printout they don't actually show up, so each one would look like dots. And then they evolve into a single hub and spoke where one leader acts as sort of the core and it connects diverse individuals and groups together. So it looks like this. And then they typically evolve even more to what we call a multi-hub small world network, where that leader trains other network leaders, and so then you have multiple communities that are coming together in sort of a web, and the leader becomes the network facilitator, not just the facilitator of that one community, which looks like this. And then last, we have what we call a core, or a periphery, where there are key members, many of whom are actually network leaders. So, you know, you're longer connecting one community to another, but one network to another. And there's an outer ring of members that connect to other communities that span across. That was the one I was really worried about. Can you imagine that with no lines? And so we have set sort of aspirations for ourselves, knowing a little bit about how the world has changed, knowing a little bit about how communities and networks come together and evolve, that what we really wanted to do over the last 3 years was begin to position CDC as a partner, an equal partner, to improve the two-way communications that we have with all of you, with our national partner organizations, with state and local public health, academia, to really improve perceptions and trust, and to have informed decision-making at all levels. So what we have been focused on is really participatory-based action. And all of you know that that is sort of a traditional technique from health systems research, where relationships and processes that promote the equality of all members are at the core, and where there's co-learning and capacity building amongst everyone, not just those things happening at the national level or at the state level, but they are throughout the entire network. So we've developed a three-part strategy, really, to try to achieve that goal of a participatory-based network or approach. And that includes communications and marketing, collaboration, and validation. And we're going to go into each one of those in a little bit more detail. Communication and marketing, and this is where we start the CDC talk. So communication and marketing, and what we've been doing, and hopefully these are things that you have some familiarity with, or you've noticed that have come along in the last couple of years, and maybe not known why, but this is the why part. In our attempt to do a better job of communication, we have defined within the National Center for Public Health Informatics dedicated relationship managers, so that there's one point of contact for national partner organizations, for state and local public health agencies, and they need to have their own network of experts to link to help resolve issues that come up, but that there's sort of one way in and one way out. So if your problem doesn't get resolved, you know who to blame. If it does get resolved, you know who to thank. And that has also, we've also made some attempts to improve the consistency of communication amongst those folks, so that they all know what's going on across the board and can communicate that. And then, of course, there are a number of products that hopefully you've seen, such as FinNews, monthly partner calls, a dramatically improved, in my humble opinion, website for both the National Center for Public Health Informatics and for Finn. And then, of course, there's what you see here today. There's the Finn Conference and the continued growth and expansion and enhancement of that, as well as the communities of practice. The second sort of pillar of this approach is collaboration. And the goal here is that good communication, those dedicated folks, that they're really fostering collaboration at all levels, not just CDC to partners, but more importantly, in many cases, is partners to partners. That, as we heard this morning, we have more in common than we think. And so this is about leveraging the great work going on in state and local public health and sharing that with one another. And if CDC can facilitate that, all the better. And some examples we have of this, you heard a little bit about the Distribute Project this morning. That's an H1N1 effort to improve surveillance and situational awareness. There's the communities of practice, which you've heard a lot about in this session, which is probably where we've spent a great deal of time in the last couple of years is understanding how communities work, how to help support communities, some culture change at CDC that we're still working on, quite frankly, that to make sure that they're truly participatory and that everyone has an equal voice. And then PH Connect, which Mamie just mentioned. And I don't know if you saw the website for that, but it's www.phconnect.org. And the last sort of pillar of this is validation, which there are a number of groups that have developed over the last couple of years who really are providing these guidelines, thought leadership, and some oversight to CDC and the National Center for Public Health Informatics. We have a board of scientific counselors, which has been stood up in the last couple of years. All of our national partner organizations have informatics work groups or committees that we regularly talk with, participate in their meetings to get that validation of what are the real issues going on in state and local public health. We have a community of practice council, which is really responsible for sort of the portfolio management approach of communities, looking across all communities to see what they're doing, making sure that we're sharing community to community as well as individual to individual. And then the Joint Public Health Informatics Task Force. If you haven't heard of this, this is an organization that was stood up by the seven national public health partner organizations that also have a role in informatics. So this is ASTO, NATO, CSTE, APHL, NAFSIS, NATO, and there's Public Health Data Standards Consortium. So what we're really trying to achieve here through these three things, through the communication, the collaboration, and the validation, are outcomes at the individual level, at the organizational level, and at the community level. And if you look at this, the ones that we're particularly interested in are sort of increased learning amongst individuals, shared resources, increased interactions with others. At the organizational level, we have a real interest in whether we're improving co-learning, whether we have more productive partnerships, and whether we're increasing the use of promising practices. And that's all about the sharing that we're talking about. That's not about CDC's use, although that would be nice too. It's really about, are we sharing with one another, and is that actually being used and applied? And then at the community level, it's really about expanded social networks, improving our outcomes, which we heard a lot this morning about informatics being a foundation for improving those outcomes, and improving structure and operations. So looking forward, what we would like to do within our center is continue to build these relationships, increase the number of connections, improve communication with and between partners. And so I would urge you, as well as Mamie, that communities are one way of doing that. There are other communication channels as well. We have listservs, we have PH Connect. There are many, many ways to get involved, to lurk in the background if you choose, but to at least get the information, know what's going on, be able to share that with others. And I will wrap up with one of the quotes that that I actually like, which is, "Info enthusiasts have so convinced us of the power and promise of technology that we've forgotten about things like practice and purpose. So focused on blowing up the world of atoms, we've blinded ourselves to the very things that give context and meaning to the world of bits, namely social life, human networks, and culture." So this is sort of a quick whirlwind tour of what we've been thinking about at CDC, how maybe some of the things that you've seen but not known, how they fit together or if they fit together. And this is something that we focused a tremendous amount of time and attention on in the last couple of years. And we know we still have a ways to go, but hopefully you have seen the difference, that you've seen better communication, more open lines of communication, more opportunities to have your voice heard, and that you get a response, that it's not just that we're listening, but that you actually see things that are evolving or changing because of that. And because it's my last week, the National Center for Public Health Informatics, I get to take the time, whether Nicole jumps up here with her 1 minute sign or not, to thank a couple of people. We've had some really, really smart people helping us think about this over the last couple of years. Nicole is one of them, Nicole Fehrenbach, my deputy, but also folks who've been helping us think about this, but who also helped with authoring today's presentation. And most of them are right over here in the corner hiding out, but Sabine Awad, Brandy Geiger, Ashley Galloway, and Christy Jean-Baptiste are some of the folks who have worked very hard at helping us think about how we do a better job with this. And I would be remiss if I didn't thank them for all of that hard work over the last couple of years. So, Nicole.
Lots of wires.
Yes, there are lots of wires. It's a little treacherous up here. Should note this for the National Center for Injury Prevention. So we've now heard from our three panelists, and we are fortunately actually in a relatively small room. I do have a lavalier mic, or a walking mic for those who speak quietly. But I'd like to open it up now for questions as well as comments to our three panelists. So I will wander to you, if you can raise your hand, maybe for some of you in the further back, meet me halfway. I'd like to open it up now to all of you to continue this conversation. Let's go. You all are not a shy group. I've been in every Finn Open conversation. I have heard your enthusiastic criticisms, supports, comments. Yes, we do. We have time. Of course, we are before lunch. But they actually won't serve lunch till noon, so we do have time to proverbially kill. Wayne.
Thanks. This is really for Dr. Haggart. And you've got some open source software that's
really a foundation of your community of practice. I'd like to hear a few more words about how you contribute, how others are contributing to that, and how your community of practice is related to those kinds of development activities. Thank you.
Thank you.
The community first started because people who were trying to adopt the software needed technical assistance, and it's evolved now to where we've had conference calls about development efforts and what the software needs going forward, and there have been, not every state has been able to fund the development efforts, but we have functioned as a cohesive unit, and I think that the community's input to the development needs has been spot on. You know, there's been pretty much consensus about what the software needs, and so it has been, we've been able to, some states have been able to get funding to do the development and changes, modifications to the software, but those efforts have been focused on the priorities identified by the community. Did that answer your question?
And maybe a follow-up, are there folks that are contributing outside of specific funded projects? I mean, in the open source world, there's a lot about people with either a lot of knowledge or time in their hands.
We had one example, but you know, it's the first one. So one of the things that the software does is a web-based data query system. So you can put public health data sets on the web and make them accessible to the public to query, to do custom queries. And the IBIS query results, you would get the results, but they were in a table, but you couldn't sort them. So one of our community members developed a patch to the software that we could apply so that end users could sort the results that were in the table. I mean, it was a small step, but it was at least evidence that it was truly open source and that we could accommodate enhancements. And the agreement that everyone makes is if they're going to use the software, any enhancements they make are available. I mean, so we use those kinds of open source rules, even though I don't know technically if we're. Anyway,
I'll give a minor plug to Utah here, and I'll know if you want to follow up. And I expect to see some of this in New Mexico as well. Utah has several presentations throughout the FIN conference, and at the FIN conference last year, they launched their open source NEDs. So this is definitely a philosophy that the Utah Department of Health has openly embraced in collaboration with the University of Utah. So I think we can expect to see more happening from this health department in particular. And now with Lois moving to New Mexico, a knowledge transfer to another health department, and we'll see hopefully some additional work happening along those lines. Do you want to comment at all? Or?
No, I hope so.
All right.
Where are you going next?
Yeah. It takes the power of one, but then also the power of community. Other questions? I'm going to start interviewing you.
Yes. Well, I don't know whether this is more of a personal question or not, but I'm with a nonprofit that is really trying to develop a search engine to connect the grassroots organizations, allow them to define what are the projects they feel are most critical to address health, education, hunger, homelessness, whatever the issue is. And I'm trying to figure out and then disseminate that information in an easily searchable format so academic faculty and students, nonprofits, government agencies can search by keywords, counties, requested disciplines or population characteristics and find the grassroots projects that are germane to their interest. But they're not really tying in with public health per se. They're trying to fix a problem at the grassroots, and the research is sort of coming as a tag along for trying to get funding into the community. And they aren't coming from a public health perspective, and I'm trying to figure out how that would fit in with these COPs that are really functioning more within the formal structure of public health. and yet it's not tying into the community basis where I'm trying to be the net, not, I see public health as a customer of mine to help connect with the community, but my focus is really at the community level and where the fit is.
Mamie, do you want to start with this response, then Lynn?
So I, of course, can't speak for PHII, who is the owner of the tool, but the tool is certainly a place for folks who have public health stakeholders perhaps to come together, and it certainly has tagging capabilities on the tool so that you would be able to search for and find information. You can also store information. I would suggest that we walk down to the PHII booth together and talk to them and see if that group is a candidate for being on PH Connect. Lynn, do you want to add?
I mean, I think that's one option. I think that there are also communities that don't call themselves communities, and we have not yet expanded our efforts to reach down into those. I spent a few years in a local health department as well, and we would have never known to call ourselves a community of practice, but we had a group, a committee, a work group, whatever, that was really all of the social services organizations, all the nonprofits. Public health was a sort of almost a bit player in this, but it was bringing together all the people to talk about the issues within the community, to plug into those resources. A lot of it was actually sponsored by United Way. At that community level, but really we were a community of practice and didn't know to call ourselves that. And so I think that there are lots of opportunities. This was something that also came up yesterday in a day-long meeting we had with our assessment initiative grantees, where they're really trying to get at that community level and figure out how to bring the data at the community level into a place where it's accessible and actionable for all of the players. And so I think there are a lot of different ways that we could think about and have some conversations about how do we expand now if we're really doing a fairly decent job of reaching sort of the first tier, which is state and local public health, to us from CDC. Then the next tier down would be the next logical, I hate to say target because that sounds negative, but you know what I mean, the next place to go to start talking and thinking about this.
The challenge also that you've outlined is one that several have wrestled with. There are representatives from NAPSIS, the National Association of Public Health Statistics and Information Systems here, and they may have some good lessons to share. So I'm not sure there are any in this room specifically, but there are several representatives from that organization here at the conference. Other questions or comments? Yes, sir. If I can meet you halfway here.
I'm Bill Livingood. I'm from Jacksonville, Florida, and I just wanted to comment on that last question. We've been doing a lot locally with our health information exchange and are pretty well involved with organizing in the community. One of the issues that needs to be addressed, and I think CDC would have to take this on, and they'd have to deal with it differently than as a public health issue, because a lot of the information that is collected by many of these social service agencies is relates to HUD requirements, and HUD requirements don't have an HL7 type of background and so on, a backbone. So you've got very different kinds of information systems, and to make these information systems talk to one another, I think you're going to need to have HUD and CDC in the same way that the VA and the Department of Defense were required to talk to one another. I think you've got to have some of that, and then you can build potentially some kind of NHIN connect between health and social service agencies and so on. But there really isn't the platforms there that even allow that to happen, and we're actually working with some of those things. But and with HIPAA, then also you've got all kinds of other complications because you're transmitting potentially health information to non-health providers and so on. So that's a very complicated issue, but it would take some real concentrated effort to make that happen.
As I head back, does anyone want to comment on that as I head this way?
Those are the types of issues that the insular community is very interested in. We're trying to work through some of those right now. So
Additional questions or comments? Along those same lines, there was one that Dr. Frieden has spoken about in a couple of his presentations with the national partner organizations, just the lessons that we constantly learn related along those lines to the comment that during the H1N1 outbreak that started this spring, one of the challenges that CDC had was making appropriate recommendations around school closures and how to do that in collaboration and partnership with Department of Education. And so we are now synced up. But it took us a little bit of a stumble to get on the same page with each other. So it's these lessons about reaching out to each other, thinking about who our partners are, thinking about the social service organizations, education systems, a variety of other organizations and structures that we interact with. As in public health, we touch so many of them. So our partnerships, our needs for collaboration, it's a lesson we constantly have to learn. Hopefully, through some of these communities and these efforts, we move closer to shortening the constant learning curve that we're on.